There is a scripture in Hebrews that has always intrigued me, and maybe it has you as well. On all of us who have ever read it or heard it over the years, it's just one short verse, one sentence long, but whenever you read it, you have to stop and think, has this ever happened to me? Or to us, or maybe to someone you may know. The scripture is found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to entertain strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." And the old King James Version says it this way: "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Unaware. No matter which version you read, the meaning is the same. The scripture brings up the real possibility that we could actually speak and interact with an angel without knowing it. Whenever I read the scripture, I start thinking back over my life and wondering if there ever has been a time that I have come in contact with an angel. And so far, I can't think of a time that has ever happened. But I know people who believe they have had the help of an angel. And I do believe that God has used his angels. He has used his angels to help me. He's used them to help my family. And he's used them to help yours as well. Even though we don't know it, that's the meaning of the words in that scripture, angels unaware. We don't know when. Brethren, we know the Bible tells us that there are angels, and they are among us, it says. There are nearly 300 Bible scriptures pertaining to angels in the Bible. It's a huge subject that you could talk on in various different angles and different degrees. But today we're going to look at just a few of them to see some of what angels do here on this earth and what their purpose is as they serve as God's instruments of glory. They serve God as his instruments. You know, the very name angel means messenger, doesn't it? All through history, mankind's history, angels have been sent by God for various reasons. To bring a message, maybe a message of hope to someone, to give protection, to give comfort. The angels also serve and minister to God's people. Angels carry out God's judgments. Bible's full of those, especially in the book of Revelation. And angels praise and worship God continually, always. You know, there have been movies over time and years that have portrayed angels to be what we know as former humans. Movies have portrayed angels to be, I've seen a few of those movies, former humans who have died, they've gone to heaven, and they've become angels now. And sometimes they come back to visit this earth. It's been portrayed in movies. Many people believe that. There was a movie that I always liked growing up, and it seems like I see it every now and then, but it's called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a Wonderful Life. And there appears an old man in the movie named Clarence, who died hundreds of years earlier, and is sent down back to this earth as an angel from heaven to help Jimmy Stewart, who is in trouble in his life, financially and other problems. But the Bible tells us different. It tells us different. That's not the way it is in God's word. The first thing we know about angels is that they are created beings, aren't they? They are created beings, not former human beings, as the movies portray and as some believe, who have passed away. You know, we read this. Take your Bibles. Let's go back to the book of Psalms. Let's go back to Psalms 148. Psalms 148. And read what it says here in the book of Psalms. Here in Psalm 148, beginning in verse 1, we have a hymn that's written after this psalm. But it says, "Praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his host, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you stars of light, praise him you heavens of heavens, and you waters above heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." Did you catch that? He commanded and they were created. All these things that he mentions above here, including angels, were created. It's pretty clear there. Over in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, is another scripture. It's pretty clear. It says this, it says, Colossians 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." For him. Angels were invisible. They were created for him. They were created to help do God's work. So where do angels come from? Well, we know they were created. They are lower than God, and they are not equals of God. We know that. And they are dependent on God for their existence. They were created for his praise and purpose, and have no power apart from what God gives them. They have no power except for what God gives them. Therefore, angels are not to be worshipped. Some people believe that they have pictures of angels all in their houses or whatever and places, and they believe that they can worship the angels as well. But there's a key scripture to this in the book of Revelation. Turn over to in Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter of the Bible. Revelation 22, and in verse 6, it said that the Lord sent an angel to John. He sent an angel to send a message, speaking of these end time prophecies. But anyway, in verse 8, where we're going to read, it says, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw," it says, "I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things." That's what John says he did. But verse 9 says this, "Then he," the angel, "said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant. I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book." He says, worship God. Don't bow down to me. You worship God, John. Well, throughout man's history, angels have carried out judgments of God. We see that many places in the Bible in very dramatic ways. We're going to look at just one of those. Take the incident of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings. Let's turn there in 2 Kings chapter 6. Here in 2 Kings chapter 6, it says this. It says, therefore, in verse 14 of 2 Kings chapter 6, he says, therefore, he, speaking of the king of Syria now, it says, therefore, he, the king of Syria, sent horses and chariots and a great army there to Dothan in Israel. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God, speaking, the man of God was Elisha, and his servant saw, the servant rose early that morning and went out, and there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? He was panicking. He was afraid of what he saw. Verse 16, but Elisha said and answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he's probably thinking in his mind, no, they're not. They've surrounded the city with their horses and chariots. What does Elisha mean by that when he says that? We see in verse 17, it says, and Elisha prayed and said this, Lord, I pray, open his eyes, speaking of the servant, that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he, God, struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. A miracle was taking place there. Well, I looked this up in Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary on this. And it says about verse 17, it says, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes. Speaking of Elisha's servant. Elisha could see it, but Elisha's servant couldn't see it. He says, open his eyes that he may see. And there's a scripture in Psalm 34, verse 7, that says that the invisible guard of angels encompasses and defends us. Psalm 34, 7. The invisible guard of angels encompasses and defends us. It means we can't see them, but they're there. The opening of the eyes which Elisha prayed for were those of spiritual. A spirit, not of the body, not of the physical eye and the faith. Because sometimes we can have faith, but we can't see with our own eyes the divine presence and protection. Where it's just kind of darkness to our own eyes to see it. But the horses and the chariots were symbols that servant saw at that time. They were symbols of God's divine power and their fiery nature, their supernatural origins. God performed a miracle to let that servant see what Elisha saw. That God was there even though they didn't see a physical army with his eyes, and that the angels were there, and how did they do it? He blinded those men's eyes so they couldn't perform what they came to do to get Elisha. Well, because angels are spirit beings, we can't see them, can we? Although angels have taken the form of physical man's appearance many times in the Bibles. We read in the Bible of that. We know that they appeared to men when they went into Lot's house, don't we? They appeared as men. to speak with him when they went to Lot about Sodom. And we can see another example. Let's turn and read this one in the book of Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 1. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre." And he's talking about Abraham here. "And he was sitting in the tent in the heat of the day." Verse 2. "So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, 'My Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant.'" Verse 4, "Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest under yourselves under this tree." Well, we know that these were not ordinary men. The first verse gives that away. And the first verse says the Lord. So we know that Lord was Jesus Christ. And he was being accompanied by angels. The Lord appeared to Abraham. The Lord, the one who later became Christ, appeared to Abraham as a physical man in appearance. Then the verse goes on to say he was with two other men. It says he was with two other men. It doesn't say angels there, does it? It says men, but we know they were angels. We'll see that. What other men would be with the Lord but the angels? It says they ate with Abraham, just as men would eat with him. And they were come for a purpose, to deliver a message. A message to Abraham and Sarah, that they would have a child in their old age. That was their purpose. They were coming. They would have a child the next year. But there's further proof of who these men were. If you continue reading on, in Genesis 18, verse 16, skip down there. It says, "Then the men arose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them," it says, "to send them on their way." These men. And in chapter 19, verse 1, pretty much explains it. He says, we read, "Now the two angels had come to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose up to meet them, and he bowed his face toward the ground." Yes, they were angels that were with Christ that manifest themselves into men. So the same men that left Abraham, walked to Sodom, where Lot lived, are the same ones that are now described clearly as being angels. The angels in disguise as men. But when we read these events in the Bible, it seems like both Abraham and Lot recognize him immediately, that these men were not just regular men. There was something certain about this when they delivered that message to Sarah and Abraham about having a child. Angels are usually invisible to mankind, as we've said. You know, when they perform their services to God and to God's people, but they can appear, as we just read, as men. If they want, and they can eat food if they want. They did that also with Lot. They went in and ate food there as well. Well, as I read earlier in a scripture I gave you, in the very first one, that some have actually entertained angels unaware. Unaware. So what about the subject also of there being guardian angels? That's another thing people in the world believe in a lot. Guardian angels. You know, and they get this from Matthew 18, in chapter 18 of Matthew. And in that chapter, I won't turn there, but it says that Christ was explaining that we should become as little children. We've read those scriptures. And be humble ourselves. And in verse 10 of Matthew 18, it said, Jesus told him this. He says that no one should despise the little ones because their angels always see the face of God who is in heaven. You know, while angels are charged with protecting God's faithful people on earth, the popular concept of a specific guardian angel being assigned to every individual, whether he or she follows Christ or not, is not supported by the Bible. It's not supported by the Bible. God is able to send many angels, not just one, many angels to aid anyone on this earth, at any time, as he works out his plan for humanity and salvation. You know, when we pray for God's protection, many times we'll ask that he send what? That he sends his angels to protect us and our families, don't we? We hear that many times. But are we ever aware of a time an angel or angels interacted in our life? Are you aware of that? Most times I would say we are unaware of what angels are doing for us, as Hebrews 13:2 has stated. You know, sometimes it doesn't hit us what actually happened until later, maybe even years later, that God was involved and he used his angels to perform. God's angels do such a good job of helping us in times of trouble, don't they? They work behind the scenes. That we only think about it later and become aware of angels likely being involved. You know, many times when I drive to church, I ask for God's angels on the Palmetto because of all the crazy drivers we have to watch over. Many times they've been there to avoid accidents. And I know you all have your own incidents and stories that you could tell as well. I can remember back when my wife and I were newlyweds. We were married in late April. We were baptized a week later. We both had jobs, if you want to call them that. We were only making about $80 a week, each of us. So you can do the math. We were pretty poor even for 1971 at 80 bucks a week. We didn't have a whole lot of money to go to the feast that year. But it was enough. It was enough to drive to Jekyll Island, we thought. Just till just a few weeks before we were to leave for the feast, which would be my wife's first feast, not mine, something happened. It was still a little dark outside when I got up that morning to leave our apartment for work. When I opened the door to go to my car, I was shocked to see that my Corvette, which was my only possession I had when I got married, didn't really have any money, but I did have a Corvette that I had worked for a long time to buy. I saw my Corvette sitting on four concrete blocks. No wheels, no tires. Here we were, a few weeks away from the feast. No theft insurance either, couldn't afford that back then. No money to buy those tires and wheels. We were in a real fix. We asked God for his help, but didn't expect to have our prayers answered so quickly in what was about to happen, especially living in Miami. So I got to work that morning. I don't remember how I got to work, but I got to work that day and was wrestling with the problem all day, what I was going to do. I talked to my fellow employees about what had happened to my car. They couldn't hardly believe it. They felt really bad for me. Later that day, one of my fellow employees came to me and told me that while I was telling everyone about my tires and wheels being stolen, a light went off in his head. He happened to overhear the conversation. As I was describing to him the exact tires and wheels, he had overheard his brother talking about these wheels and tires at his home when he was talking to his brother. That he would go, and he said, he told me, he would go home and talk to his brother where he heard this about these wheels and tires. He said he would call me that night, that very night of the same day. And he did. I didn't expect a call. He called me. Later that night, he told me that my tires and wheels would be in a field near my house at 10 p.m. that night. I told my brother, Phil, you all know, and we went out there. We were afraid, but we went out there in the field in the dark, searching this field to see if this was really going to be true. It was all there. This is more than a coincidence, brethren. More than a coincidence. I've always given God the credit for helping us back then in that event in our lives. Was an angel involved? Did an angel cause that guy to come over and hear my conversation? Did he have to know, talk to his brother and find out if this was really the tires and wheels? I believe an angel was, and I believe God was answered our prayers by using these angels. You know, in all South Miami, what were the odds, or even in Miami, that I would ever get back wheels and tires the very same day, the night they stole them? Those are pretty slim odds. God answered our prayers. You know, God's words reveal that angels have different levels of responsibility. I said it's a big subject. They have different responsibilities and honor. Even though angels are spirit, most of their work on this earth is to perform physical aid. If you go through the Bible and read all the incidences that angels perform physical things, was their duty, God told them, Christ told them. Physical aid and protection to those who love God. That's their primary job. For example, the angels ministered, it said, to Christ after those 40 days that he fasted when Satan was there in Matthew 4. It says they came and they ministered to Christ after that fast to help him. Let's take our Bibles and turn over to the book of Luke. Luke here. Chapter 22. Here, Luke chapter 22. Here, beginning in verse 39. It says, Luke 22, verse 39, it says, and my subtitle is The Prayer in the Garden. It says, and coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Verse 43, a key scripture. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven strengthening him. An angel appeared from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. Here an angel was sent down at Christ's most critical time. It says to strengthen him and to help him. Now there is much in this life to worry us, isn't there? And make us fearful at times. There is a time in the Apostle Paul's life, many times I should say, that an angel provided, as well as some of the other apostles, help when they needed it. To provide them comfort and help. Take your Bibles and scroll to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. In times of distress, in times of trouble, God knows when to send his angels. In Acts 27, here we know Paul is on a ship. He's on his way to Rome. And beginning in verse 18, it says, "And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed the next day, they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle over with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days," that means it was a pretty bad overcast, bad weather storm that they were in. "No small tempest beat on us." It means it was huge waves. "All hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long absence from food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss.'" He warned them before they left not to go. "And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship." So he told them, "We're going to lose the ship, but your lives will be spared. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me by this angel.'" Angel sent and comforted him, gave them hope that they were not going to lose their lives. God comforts us in our time too, by sometimes using angels in various ways. He does, that we will probably never fully know for sure. You know, that's what got me thinking and starting to speak on this today. Because of what happened this past December. As many of you know, my wife had surgery then to have her non-functioning kidney removed. We arrived at the hospital about 5:30. We were waiting until 7 a.m. for the surgery to begin. There was a lady sitting across from us who had brought her friend for surgery as well. We talked briefly that morning, just briefly. Then they called her in for her friend's surgery. I never saw the lady again that day, until later that day. As many of you also know, my wife had had major surgery 2 years ago. And a few days later, you know, I suffered a heart attack. What are the odds, you know? So we were both in the hospital at the same time. A few days before this December surgery, Mr. Jackson announced, well, he came in and first anointed my wife at the house before the surgery was going to take place, but Mr. Jackson announced to you all that he would like for the church to pray for me as well as my wife so that I wouldn't stress out that I wouldn't have another heart attack, which I didn't. Thank you for your prayers. That I wouldn't have another heart attack. My son was with me that morning during the surgery. Doug came to the hospital to stay with me during the surgery, which took about 3 hours. After which they called and said that she would be in recovery for a while, and they would let us know when we would see her. Then they let my son in, even though she was still out of it, to see her. And they let me in after him to see her briefly. Doug had to leave. He had to go to work at that time. Had to go back to work. So I was there by myself in the waiting area to be called back in, which was close to an hour I was there. And as I was waiting there to see my wife again, this same lady that I had met in the morning called out to me and said to me, "Come here, sit beside me." Kind of struck me kind of strange. "Come here and sit beside me." She was an elderly lady. So I sat down beside her, and she began talking to me as we were waiting for my wife and her friend to come out of the anesthesia. She began talking to me about my wife's surgery, telling me that she used to be at one time a nurse, and that she was trying to encourage me that everything was going to be okay. We talked and had a lot in common, including our faith in God and his healing power. What are the odds you sit down aside of somebody of this nature? After about an hour, the doctor came out and talked with me about my wife's surgery and said that everything went well. He said they would call me in a few minutes and let me go see my wife. I said goodbye to the lady, assuming I would never see her again. After 3 days, my wife was released to go home. And the nurse was wheeling her out of the room down the hallway. I looked up and heard a voice. It was the same woman I had met 3 days ago. I looked up and heard a voice that I had talked to in the beginning. She came over. She gave me a big hug and asked how my wife was. I told her, "We're going home now. She's doing good." And little did I know that all that time we were in the hospital of 650 beds, they were next door to my wife. When she came to visit her friend there, also who was being released that day as well, after I left that lady, I felt like I had known her all my life. And what a comfort she was to me during that time. Thinking back over it, though, I believe God caused her to be there that day, not only for me, but for her as well. Sometimes God uses angels to direct people to answer prayers, doesn't he? God uses people you may not know to answer your prayers. It happens. You know, when we are anointed many times in prayer, we ask that God guide and direct the hands of those performing the surgery or care to place, and we ask him to place his angels around about those who are there. We pray that to people. No, the angel of the Lord encamps all around us, those who fear him and delivers him. That's a scripture that I read. That's a comforting scripture that we can have, that he encamps around us and watches over us. I know that this woman was not an angel. No, she was not an angel. But I believe she was an answer to prayer for me and my wife, too, because it made her happy to hear I was doing well through the long waiting ordeal And it made me feel good that her friend was doing well as well. I know that there are many out there who believe they have encountered an angel in their life. Some dramatic time it has happened. And I have heard some of these stories. Many of them I have heard. There are many times that an angels have intervened on all of our lives' behalf. Did we see them? Maybe. Did we know it? No. Were they strangers? Angels unaware? Brethren, in this age, I imagine God's angels are working overtime. They are very busy ministering to those who love him. That's their job. Doing invisible things and mostly unnoticed behind the scenes. There's a scripture I want you to turn to. Final scripture, closing scripture, that I've always liked. I remember in Spokesman's Club one time, they asked me, what is your favorite scripture in the Bible? And this one popped into my head. I don't know why, but in Psalm 91, starting in verse 7, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. It means you can see the reward of the wicked and what happens to those who fall to the left or right, whatever. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil, because of that, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwellings. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. What a wonderful promise that is. In their hands they shall bear you up. It means they will help you. What a wonderful blessing that is, brethren. What a wonderful blessing that is. Let's never, never forget the angels unaware.